listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Emory Hunt joins us. Footballgameplan.com also does some stuff with CBS Sports, and you can find him on Twitter at FBallGamePlan. That's FBallGamePlan. How are you, Emory?
I'm doing fine, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Always, always love it. Last night, the Buccaneers lose. Before we get to the Rams side of things, what did last night say about the Buccaneers as a team at 7-4? Is it things we didn't know or things we always suspected of them as we go into Week 11?
You know, I think when you look at the Bucs defensively, we saw how very good they are versus the run. We saw them compete in the passing game, although the Rams tend to do that to people, make you not look like you know what you're doing in coverage. But offensively, despite having the talented pieces on the perimeter, they just wasn't able to connect consistently last night. And they moved the ball well. They had their opportunities to win that game. And I just thought that the Rams just were a better team. So I still believe the Bucs are a very good football team. We know talent at the end of the day can help you get to the playoffs. Now, continuity and consistency helps you get through the playoffs. They're banged up right now up front. So you think that they'll get better in that regard, get healthier. So they'll be fine. But just last night, the Rams were a better team.
Now let's get to the Rams. Look, they don't have a front runner for the MVP like Russell Wilson in Seattle. They're not this young, dynamic coach quarterback combination like Arizona, this kind of feel-good story. But are they the best team in the division?
You know, that's a good question. I would venture out to say yeah, because you know, they've played probably as consistent as you can play throughout the year. And we know their offense is efficient, is dynamic in how it approaches the game. And defensively, they've gotten better every game, especially within the second level, where I had like the biggest questions about the Rams coming into the season. But right now, they are playing the most consistent of the teams in the NFC West. So, yeah, I would have to say the Rams are the best team in that division.
All right, let's go to the AFC with Pittsburgh is 10-0 and rolling along and got a game Thursday night against a struggling Baltimore team. Emory, when you evaluate the Steelers, where is a weakness? Where is something that would say to somebody, you know what, this team's good, but they're not going to go to the Super Bowl. There's something that's going to catch up with them somewhere in the playoffs.
You wonder about their run game being consistent, being dynamic, and you also wonder there's bouts within the game offensively where they just look ineffective, where the pass is not connecting, the run game isn't as dominant as it should be, and they let teams tend to hang around. We saw this in the Tennessee game. We saw this in the Baltimore game. It wasn't for those turnovers. Baltimore wins that game. And we saw this last week against Jacksonville. They were dominant on defense against Jacksonville, but offensively, I felt like they should have scored 40 points.
Yeah,
and so they let Jacksonville hang around a little bit, and you wonder, you know, those lulls within the game can come back to bite them in the playoffs.
Cleveland, a team that's three games behind them in the standings. People are looking at the Browns and saying, well, it's a talented team that's winning the games they're supposed to, but they lose the games that are tough on their schedule. Are you buying that with the Browns? And give me an analysis of where they are, when the schedule, and when you're making a move towards the postseason, how does Cleveland stack up?
Cleveland actually has a good foundation. They're playing good defense. They played very good defense last week against Philly without their best player. And they're running the football. So anytime you could shrink the game with your run game and also be dominant on defense and get your offense back to football to continue to shrink the game, that's a winning formula. And as long as teams are not able to stop the run, they're going to get beat by the Browns. But the crazy part is that if you are able to stop the run and make Baker Mayfield beat you, you have a significantly higher chance of beating Cleveland. And I think that's the challenge for teams moving forward. Make Baker Mayfield beat you throwing the football, because they're hiding Baker Mayfield right now. And if they're not forced to let him loose, or if they can continue to hide him or can't continue to hide him, they'll struggle. And we've seen this throughout the season. So right now they have a good game plan going. It's working for them. it could work for them long term, but you drafted him number one overall to be a difference maker, and right now you're hiding him in that regard.
Yeah, that's wild to hide your number one overall pick from a couple of years ago. Miami is dealing with something in their quarterback where they're balancing a scale. Brian Flores wants a team that is going to be heading to the playoffs, but he needs to give Tua reps. Pulling him for performance, what did you make of that move? Is that the right move for the way Brian Flores is dealing with his quarterback situation?
You know, I just found it weird to pull Tua in that regard and to go to Ryan Fitzpatrick, and he did exactly what Ryan Fitzpatrick does. Gives you a little bit of hope, but ends up breaking your heart in the end. And we've seen this play out countless amounts of times in his career. So you don't gain nothing from that experience. So why pull the young guy? Let him work through that. Even if he was struggling, you know, let him work through that, and that's teaching tape for the next week so he can build on it. Because if you pull him like you did and to go to Ryan Fitzpatrick, what are you actually learning from Fitzpatrick in that situation? So I didn't understand it. I didn't have too much care for it. I thought he was injured, but Coach came out and said that he wasn't injured. It was just, you know, they wanted to pull him because he was ineffective. And it was a head-scratcher. But I feel like a team long-term, but Tua has to play better in that regard because he struggled against the Rams. He struggled last week, and he played okay against the Arizona Cardinals. So, you know, he's been going through his ups and downs, and that's what you expect him making his start late in the season. But the defense has been really good, and that has carried his football team so far. But I probably wouldn't have pulled Tua for being ineffective. You want to give him the opportunity to go out and right some wrongs and win that game after he was struggling all throughout the course of that contest.
Good battle in the AFC South between Indianapolis and Tennessee, and they'll play each other this weekend. We know about Tennessee from last year's playoff, and we know how Derrick Henry can be utilized and effective in them winning some games. How do the Colts beat you?
The Colts do a great job up front. They have length along that defensive line. They have very active and aggressive linebackers, so they're able to slow down the run game. Offensively, we know about their offensive line, and we're starting to see them find the right mix of how to use their running game. Great game by Jonathan Taylor last week. Naheem Hines is a chess piece that can beat you in a multitude of ways on game day, and as long as Phillip Rivers doesn't turn the ball over, they have an opportunity to be successful because I like what they have at receiver. They have some guys that can run. They have bigger catch-and-run guys. They also have T.Y. Hilton, who's a dynamic talent, too. And when they're healthy at tight end, they're very tough to defend. So they have everything that you want to play good football, and they can go toe-to-toe with Tennessee, but it's just up to Phillip Rivers to protect the football. And if he can do that, play within himself, and let the playmakers make plays, then they'll be a tough out moving forward.
Give me a grade on Phillip Rivers so far through 10 games with the Colts. Has he been the game changer we thought he would be, taking over that spot for Jacoby Brissett? Overall, of the evaluation of that acquisition for their offense?
I think he's been about average. So I would say C+.
Yeah.
You look at what Jacoby Brissett was doing when he was healthy last year before he got hurt in that Pittsburgh Steelers game. He was doing essentially the same thing that Phillip Rivers did. Could have saved you $25 million and went ahead and started Jacoby Brissett, and probably would have gotten better play out of Brissett because he's a young, ascending player and not a guy on a decline.
Green Bay Packers, there's a lot of talk about Mike Pettine and his defense. How much of a concern should that be for Packer fans?
It's a concern, but they're opportunistic, so they're going to make some plays that they shouldn't make. It's going to help them in some games that they should have lost. So, you know, you wonder. I mean, Packer fans complain about Pettine all the time.
Sure.
So you just want, you know, at some point, you know, the players out there on the field just got to execute. And if they're being opportunistic, if they're able to turn the ball over a couple times a game and give the offense back the ball and they're able to convert, then, you know, we're not talking about Mike Pettine and his defense. But because they tend to give up big plays in bad spots, that's why we're talking about this. And that's something that has to change because that's their Achilles heel as they try to make their way into and through the playoffs.
All right, let's have some fun with this final question for you. And we're talking to Emory Hunt again, footballgameplan.com. The NFC East, somebody's going to the playoffs, Emory, but if you were to evaluate them today, who's playing better? Like, who's got a better track to get that sole playoff spot from that weak division?
I'm sorry, I missed the question. From
the NFC East, which team is better suited today to win that division?
The Cowboys, because they have the easier track to do it. And you saw a much better play from Andy Dalton. And
yeah.
At the end of the day, the Giants have the better team in the division, the best team in the division as far as, like, playing together and, you know, seemingly in every game. But you really can't trust Daniel Jones. The Cowboys have the most talented roster, and if they're starting to get it together, then talent will win out. So I would probably go Cowboys, Giants, Eagles, then Washington. Washington was losing that ball game until Joe Burrow got hurt, and so that's when the tide turned. If Burrow plays that entire game, Washington doesn't beat Cincinnati, in my opinion. But if I'm looking at who's playing better, the Cowboys and Giants are playing better. Giants have the better team, which could go far, but you don't really trust their quarterback. But the Cowboys have the best talent and should be able to, and starting to get it together, and it should help them push through at least to get them into the playoffs by winning that division.
We love having you on, Emory. You can find him on Twitter, FBallGamePlan on Twitter. Emory Hunt, FootballGamePlan.com is the website. It's fantastic. Highly recommended. Emory, always good talking to you. We'll catch up soon, my friend.
Always. Appreciate you.
You got it. Emory Hunt on our Progressive guest line. Quote, buy, and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. All right, so you know that the next couple of days you're going to overindulge in some good food for Thanksgiving, and you might even overindulge the next day for leftovers. It's one of the better part of Thanksgiving. So you might have that upset stomach, and you need some Nauseen. Because everyone's going to do this. You should, if you're going to. I mean, why not overindulge during the holiday season?
It's a fact of life.
It is a fact of life.
Listen, I already know I'm overindulging before the food even hits the table. Because
absolutely.
My wife went out and she decided, it was like, oh, you know, we need to have some snacks beforehand. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what we need before a gigantic Thanksgiving dinner.
That's exactly right.
But we all do it. We all put out cheese, crackers, salami, different types of meats, whatever, you know, chips and dip. We're all going to have all that stuff before we even get to the real meal.
Nauseen's four-minute formula quickly relieves stomach discomfort from overindulging and features a specially buffered formula to help calm and control the upset stomach discomfort. You're going to get no chalky medicinal aftertaste. That's a big deal. No bitter aftertaste. Non-drowsy. No aspirin. No caffeine or antihistamines. And the best part, it's available in the digestive section at most leading retailers. Oh, the second best part, it's a wild cherry flavor. So it's going to go down nice. I love wild cherry anything, so Nauseen makes it easier with that flavor. Quick dissolving chewable tablets, again, available in the digestive section at most leading retailers. Thanksgiving is coming, so don't forget the Nauseen. All right, coming up, I want to get to what Emory said about the Browns and lay it into a larger conversation about quarterbacks. I thought what he said about Baker Mayfield was right on point. We'll talk about that when we come back on Wake Up Call.